Okay, our next presentation will be by Guy Collins.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you all for coming out. I think this is a very important subject, especially in the southeast and especially for Georgia cotton producers. As you've heard earlier in the earlier talks, that we're transitioning away from 555 and going to these newer varieties. So to give you a little bit of background, as you've heard, 555 is the predominant variety planted in Georgia over the past several years. It's been widely adopted, and this year alone we had over 80% of our acres planted of this variety. And with an acreage just shy of a million, over 800,000 of these acres were allotted to this one particular variety. We have exactly 33%, is what I've been told, for next year going into 2010. So when you account for that and some of the carryover from last year, which I've heard is about 1,000 bags, we're looking at almost 550,000 acres to be planted in new varieties in this year alone, and we have very little experience with these newer varieties. Now this not only impacts variety selection and yield potential for Georgia growers, but it also impacts how we manage this growth. As you know, 555 is a very aggressive full season variety. You've heard Dr. Whitaker talk about the bowl distribution and plant height and growth characteristics. And a lot of these newer varieties are earlier. You saw where the bowl distributions were in his talk for these earlier varieties, they're lower in the plant. And that can have a significant impact on how we manage cotton growth, especially in the world of growth regulators and even potentially defoliation. Now this was something that was seen in a few places across the Cotton Belt over the past few years, and it was primarily seen in on-farm variety comparisons, where it looks like flex varieties are either out-yielding or far more early maturing than the regular Roundup-ready varieties. And this raised a lot of questions with a lot of producers. And one thing I think could be causing this is that you got to remember, an on-farm, larger equipment with less precision is used to make these lay-by applications of glyphosate in many circumstances. This effect wasn't seen in OVT trials, and we have a lot more precision with how we make our herbicide applications in those systems. So anyway, inevitably on farms, some glyphosate is contacting the lower nodes on the plants in some situations, and this wouldn't necessarily affect the flex variety due to its tolerance to glyphosate at any stage. However, in a regular Roundup Ready variety, this could be causing some mild fruit abortion on the lower nodes. And this doesn't necessarily cause a yield loss, so to speak, but it could cause a slight delay in maturity by shifting the bowl population to higher nodes in the plant. And one thing I really want to point out here is that the flex varieties, you have a lot more compact fruiting, better fruit retention on the lower nodes, which can restrain terminal growth a little bit better than some of these Roundup Ready varieties. In terms of defoliation, due to the compact nature of a lot of these flex varieties, we could have a higher percentage of open bowls at any given calendar date when compared to regular Roundup Ready varieties like 555. And due to this compact fruiting nature, we found in other research that we can often defoliate a little bit earlier in terms of percent open bowls. Now, some previous work's been done comparing flex and Roundup Ready varieties in terms of fruit distribution and the effects of late season glyphosate applications. And these researchers, who were also in Georgia at the time, noticed some fruit shedding differences between flex and Roundup Ready, and also noticed the differences in nodes above white bloom, which could be an indicator of maturity. So whether or not this phenomenon I've just explained is actually occurring, I don't know. It's observed in some places and not in others. However, a lot of these newer varieties do appear to be earlier maturing and not as aggressive in terms of growth when compared to 555. So as I mentioned, this could have a significant impact on how we use growth regulators. The rates may need to be adjusted for some of these newer varieties, and perhaps we could defoliate slightly earlier for some of these new flex varieties. So we did two experiments, and Jared Whitaker helped out with this and while I was in North Carolina. And he helped out in Midville, Georgia, and we had an on-farm location in North Carolina as well. And his first trial was the one that investigated the effects of PGRs. We used an early and late flex varieties, which were 0924 and 0949. and our early and late maturing regular Roundup Ready varieties, which were 445 and 555. Now, I do want to point out that these tests were planted late primarily due to rainfall, but that oftentimes you do get a better response due to PGRs when planting later. To simulate what was going on the farm, we'd made a sloppy post-direct application of glyphosate at approximately 8 to 9 leaves to hopefully get some mild fruit abortion on the lower nodes. Our PGR strategies included a non-treated chip control, 8 ounces applied at match head or about 7 to 8 leaves, followed by 8 ounces at early bloom, 8 ounces followed by 16 ounces, and then our most aggressive strategy was 2 applications of 16 ounces. In the defoliation trial, again, we made a sloppy post-direct application of glyphosate. Here we only used 2 varieties that were early maturing, those being 0924 and 445, which were defoliated at either 30, 60, or 90% open bowls using a pint and a half in finish and 6 ounces of def. And first, when we look at the results from the PGR trial, we did find that 555 had a higher number of nodes of white bloom, as you would expect. But it was even had more, even more nodes above white bloom compared to 0949, which is also late maturing. We found that all PGR treatments reduced nodes above white bloom compared to the check, and there was no interaction here, so all varieties responded similarly. In terms of plant height, at both locations, there was no effect on plant height and no difference between the varieties, which is surprising in a lot of circumstances. You do see a slight trend with the early maturing varieties being somewhat shorter, but this effect was not significant. We also found that the most aggressive PGR treatment reduced plant height when compared to the check. Here is very important to point out that there was no interaction between PGR treatment and variety, and that indicates that varieties behave similarly in response to the PGR treatments. All PGR treatments increased the percentage of open bowls at defoliation when compared to the check. And in terms of variety, there was no effect on percent open bowls due to variety in North Carolina. In Georgia, however, there are 2 early maturing varieties had a higher percentage of open bowls at defoliation than did the later 2 varieties. Now, I put this slide up because a lot of people do not believe me when I talk about PGRs and how they work. There was no yield difference in any of these strategies, despite the late planting and the significant amount of rainfall and the excessive growth that we had this year. Now, some of this can be attributed to that we had to delay harvest a lot, too, because that rain didn't want to quit. So sometimes if you harvest early, late September, somewhere in there, you do see a response. But here at the later harvest, we didn't. Lint yields among varieties were no different in North Carolina. In Georgia, this is a good piece of data to look at. We have 0949 outdoing 555 and 445. I'm not going to spend too much time on plant mapping characteristics. I just want to point out that 555 had a higher number of nodes, sympodial nodes and total nodes, and started fruiting higher, a little bit higher on the plant. And this is something that we would expect. In terms of bowl distribution, the 2 early maturing varieties had a higher proportion bowls lower in the canopy or on the lower nodes. We didn't see that the glyphosate had much effect on the regular Roundup Ready variety, so there was no real fruit abortion going on here. 555 also had set more bowls higher in the higher node regions of the plant as well. In terms of the PGR strategies, really no effect in the lower node regions. The non-treated control had a slightly higher number of bowls in the very upper node zone, which is a fairly insignificant amount anyway. The number of bowls on 8 to 10, the general consensus what we could find was the more aggressive PGR treatments reduced the number of bowls in this node zone for 0924 and increased the number of bowls in this node zone for 555. So moving on to the defoliation experiment. Here we had a lot of complications with this study, so I'm only going to present the lint yield data to you. There was no difference between these 2 varieties in terms of lint yield at first harvest, which was conducted at about 2 weeks after defoliation. We did find that defoliating at 60% open resulted in a higher lint yield compared to 30% open. Lint yield at second harvest, and this is about 4 weeks after defoliation, essentially zero when we defoliated at 60 or 90% open bolls, meaning we captured all of our yield at a first harvest when defoliating at those times. However, when we defoliated extremely early, the 445 had a higher yield at second harvest than did the 0924, which may indicate that the 0924 has a slight earliness advantage in terms of capturing first harvest yields. The total lint yield was no different between the two varieties and was highest when we defoliated at 30% open bolls. When we look at percent first harvest yields, again, all of our yield was captured when we defoliated at 60% open up bolls or beyond. Here we see a slight disadvantage in 445, so the advantage would go to 0924 when defoliating extremely early. So this may mean that we can defoliate probably not at 30%, but maybe 45, 50% or something like that for this variety. But it's most important to point out that the optimal defoliation timing for these varieties was no different. So in conclusion, in the PGR experiment, the lack of variety and PGR treatment interactions suggests to me that all varieties are behaving the same way to each PGR treatment. We did not find that rates could be reduced for the early maturing varieties as opposed to 555 or something like that. Keep in mind, we had a lot of rainfall this year, which could have masked some of these results. So I would caution growers, especially in dryland situations and in a true dryland year, to be careful when making PGR decisions. And I'm not saying that they automatically need to reduce rates. What I am saying is to pay attention to plant growth more so than we've been doing in the past several years. We got to get out of this mindset of using these really aggressive Cadillac treatments that we've been using on 555 and expecting good results every time. Lastly, this is only 1 year of data. We're going to have to look at this again before we can make sound conclusions. With the defoliation trial, a lot of similarities between varieties, not a whole lot of effect between the Flex and the Roundup Ready. There was a slight advantage in terms of first harvest yield when defoliating extremely early, given to the Flex variety. However, the optimal defoliation timing was no different. Again, this is only 1 year of data. We're going to have to continue this and look at this in better environments. This is a reference I used throughout this presentation. I would like to thank my counterpart in Statesboro, Jared Whitaker, Dr. Keith Emerson at NC State, and their cotton team, which consists of Bill Foote, Jamie Lanier, Seth Holt, Luke O'Neill, Nathan Bennett, and James Atkins, Sandy Donahue for statistical support, and Cotton Incorporated for their financial support. And that will conclude my remarks. I'll be happy to take any questions if you have any.
We do have time for questions if anyone has any.
Yes. If you looked at my yields, I assumed 40% lint percentage. Some of these locations haven't even been ginned yet, and we don't have any fiber quality data back.
Is that something
you're
going to do?
Yes, I mean, it's liable to be marked before we get it back, but yeah, we are looking at it. So, any more questions? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you.